ओम ज्ञान तिमिरंधस्य ज्ञानंजन शलाकाय चक्षुर्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
Allegorical verse, although even the direct meaning can be taken, that materialistic people, they like to stay up all night and sleep all day. Or some of them like to sleep all night and sleep all day also. Those who stay awake at night, there's one word in Sanskrit, nishacha, means they move around at night. That is another name for the rakshasas, those man-eaters. Man-eaters, followers of Ravana. Mostly in the Valmiki Ramayana, you'll find Ravana's followers referred to as nishacha. But anyway, the basic meaning of this verse is that a devotee's perspective of reality is quite different from that of the materialistic people. This is quite suitable, considering that this morning we had a class on pratyaksha, perception. It's what you see and how you see it. As Maharaj was explaining, devotees, they see through the eyes of Shastra. Shastra drishti, the vision of Shastra. That means God's eye view of the universe. Whereas materialistic people, they have so many different theories based upon their own perception. And tomorrow we'll hear about Anuman, which more or less means their guesswork. What is reality? For a materialistic person, reality can mean a bottle of vodka, a beautiful woman. These are his goals of life. There was a song by the late, great John Lennon. Oh, I think everyone knows his name, because by the power of modern propaganda, such people become famous. Such a person is considered a great philosopher in modern society due to his qualifications, just like making love with his wife in public. This is his qualification for becoming a great philosopher. On stage, his second wife. So he made one long song in which he gave the definition of reality according to his divine grace, John Lennon. I mean, I just remember this from more than 20 years ago, because it shocked me even at that time. He's such a rascal thing, such a nonsense thing. So the whole song he's just singing, "I don't believe the Bible, da 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 da. I don't believe in Krishna, da 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 da. I don't believe in Hitler, da 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 da." All the song like this. "I don't believe the I Ching." I know, the whole song, for 20 minutes he went on like this. Anything you could possibly believe in, he didn't believe in it. I Ching, so many things. So the conclusion is, I just believe in me. Yoko and me, that's reality. So more or less everyone is thinking like this. Only he made a song about it. The dog is also thinking, I believe in me. Reality for the dog is that this is the home where I live, and if anyone comes, I will bark, because they have no right to come. I am God in this house. Sometimes materialistic people criticize devotees of Krishna. Why don't you be realistic and practical? Why don't you come to the real world? Get a job, work hard. But actually, you see, their so-called real world, it's full of fantasy. I don't know here so much, but in the Western countries, so many things they have on TV. Probably you have here also now. There's different dramas. What is a drama? Or just like you see a movie, what is that? Your mind becomes absorbed in something, but it has no basis in reality. You're watching some movie and one vampire is coming to suck someone's blood, and you're feeling very scared, but there's no vampire. It's only imagination. You're watching it on the TV, it's just imagination. Or they have so many games, you put money in a machine and you play some game, and people become absorbed in playing some complete just imagination, that's all. Or another thing is sports. They take it very seriously that some ball, there are different ways of playing with ball, football, volleyball, basketball, and so many different games. So it's considered a matter of national importance that if a football game, which basically consists of a group of people running around chasing after a piece of leather. And this is called reality. Very important. One time there was a football game in Central America between Honduras and El Salvador, and El Salvador lost, so they declared war on Honduras. And regularly they have minor wars at football stadiums all over the world. Minor, they have battles, the football fans are fighting with each other. And what to speak of Mickey Mouse, Mouse and Mickey, is it? And Mushka Mickey. And Ducksky Donald, Kachava. Donald Duck, anyway. So So all these nonsense things, and people are saying you should be realistic. And what is their realism? Work, get some food, get some money, get some sex, pass stool, grow old and die. They're simply living like animals. There's no higher goal in life. Just thinking if somehow or other we can gratify the senses, we will be happy. But they're never happy. They may put on a show of being happy, but it's all just a show because material life is simply frustrating. So a devotee has a different view of reality. Parastasmatu bhavanyo vyakta vyaktat sanatanaha. Beyond this material world is the spiritual world, which is eternal, blissful. There is one class of so-called philosophers, the atheistic existentialists. So their conclusion is they look at the whole world and they see it's just completely nonsense. They're right. They're correct. So they come to the conclusion that the only question is whether to die now or not. Maybe I should just commit suicide because life has no meaning. So actually, if there is nothing beyond this life as we perceive it here in this world, if there's only eating, sleeping, mating and defending, then their conclusion is correct. Of course, their conclusion is not correct. This material world is nonsense, that is accepted. But there must be some purpose to this world. They see no purpose. There is no purpose in material life. But if we see that this whole world, there is so much design and order, and people have desires and ambitions, there must be some reason behind it all. This material world exists with such fantastic order. How can we think that there's no reason behind it at all? Just like if you see any machine, the machine has a purpose. It's designed for a certain purpose. Just like if you see someone has made a machine. He's invented a new machine, so he shows his friend, this is a new machine I invented. And there are wheels going around like this, and it's connected, and something's going up and down like this. So you ask him that, well, it looks like a very complex machine. What does it do? What's the purpose? It doesn't do anything. It doesn't have any purpose. No one makes such a machine. Of course, someone might be crazy and they might make such a machine. They made electric toothbrushes that's almost as crazy as you can get. If you're feeling too tired when you get up in the morning, you have to even save yourself the trouble of brushing your teeth. Because you'd have to rest your elbow like this. And so there's, otherwise, you have to hold your hand like this. So that's also some endeavor. So you'd have to like hold it like this. But we see that the cosmic manifestation is fantastically complex. What to speak of the cosmic manifestation, even a cell, any cell within our bodies is fantastically complex. So it is more sensible to assume that whoever has made this is not a big madman, but has some purpose behind it all. Actually, we were talking earlier about seeing through the eyes of Shastra, but now we're giving some logical understanding why we should see through the eyes of Shastra. So anyway, if we see there's so much order in the universe, we would come to the conclusion there must be some reason for it all. The atheistic existentialist comes to the conclusion there's no reason behind it all. Now, if that's a fact, then their conclusion is correct. You might as well commit suicide now. There's nothing to live for. There's no purpose. But if more sensibly we come to the conclusion that there is a purpose, then we should find out what the purpose is. There's no particular purpose just to getting born, living for some time, and dying like the animals. If there's nothing beyond this life, then it is totally miserable. So those who are devotees, they live in hope of a higher reality. Now that is rejected by so-called philosophers like Freud and Marx as just wishful thinking. Why Freud and Marx, even long ago, that Charvak, so many. Bhasmi bhutasya dehasya king puna agamano bhavet. Charvak, he summarized the atheistic position that when the body is finished, everything is finished. But the devotees, they have a higher hope, not based simply on wishful thinking, but there is evidence also. Bhavo jnana tapasa putam adbhavam agataha. As Krishna says in the Gita, many, many people in the past have become purified by knowledge of me, and thus they have come to me. God comes himself from time to time just to show the atheist, yes, I exist. You think I don't exist? You don't exist. Vinashayata dushkritam. He comes to destroy the atheists. And his devotees are sent by Krishna from time to time in this world just to demonstrate the life of a devotee. Now, if you say that religion is just a farce, it has no meaning, the desire of man to love God, to worship God, is simply wishful thinking, then you have to come to the conclusion that all religious teachers are simply cheaters and fools, that there is no such thing as religious experience. But this also doesn't fit with the facts. If great teachers like Jesus, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, Hazrat Muhammad, if they were simply cheaters and bluffers, then how is it they've been so much influential in human society? That's another quote from the great rascal John Lennon. He said, "Now we are more popular than Jesus," meaning the Beatles. He said, "I don't know which will go first, Christianity or rock music." He gets a little fame, a little money, becomes so puffed up. Now, where is he? Inauspicious death. He had so much opportunity. He had Prabhupada living in his house, but he could not take the opportunity.
So where were we? I got off on a bit of a track there.
So great teachers are there. They have, by logic, by philosophy, and they have demonstrated the existence of God. But not simply theoretical. They change people's lives. Great saintly persons, they have the ability, just by contacting them for a brief period, they can change people's lives. Sadhu sangha, sadhu sangha, sarva shastri koi, lava matra sadhu sangha, sarva siddhi hoi. The conclusion of the shastra, of all the scriptures, is that by just even a tiny association with a great devotee, you can achieve all perfection. There are many examples of this. Just like in recent history, if we're going to talk about chronological history, His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada was moving in this world. There are many, many examples. Indrajimna Maharaj told the story of how he met one man, some drunken man, and he met him in Australia, I think it was. So he was wandering around the streets one night, and there was some hall, and he heard there was some noise, and he opened the door and looked inside. There was Prabhupada giving a lecture, and Prabhupada said, "Just chant this mantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, and your life will be successful. Thank you very much." So that was the end of the lecture. That man remembered that, and he just chanted Hare Krishna. That's all the association he had of Prabhupada. He never forgot that. That went through with him. It changed his life. There are so many examples of people who have got Prabhupada's books, and without even meeting any devotees, they've changed their whole lives. I personally met a couple, husband and wife from America, who live in a remote area of America, who got a book, and just by reading the book, they changed their whole lives. There are so many examples. So many examples. So how can we deny the existence of God when we see great devotees who are carrying God? Bhavad vidha bhagavatas tirtha bhuta swayam prabhu tirthi kuravanti bhutani svantas tena gadavrita. That Yudhishthira Maharaj praised Mahatma Vidura, that you are a moving place of pilgrimage because you always carry in your heart Krishna. So just like you see Prabhupada, he's 24 hours a day absorbed in Krishna and experiencing Krishna. Even hard-hearted people, they could experience, just by being Prabhupada's person, they could understand, they experience a different reality. So Prabhupada was 24 hours a day talking about Krishna, serving Krishna, teaching others to serve Krishna, defeating every idea except surrender to Krishna, exposing all the bogus, wrong ideas, that means everything not Krishna conscious, and communicating that to others. So how can you say there's no Krishna? Either Prabhupada is wrong or the whole world is wrong. So we know Prabhupada is right. Because we're also experiencing that. Just like when this Hare Krishna movement started, people thought, it's just another hippie fashion. It won't stay. It's staying. How is it staying? You might think that people might shave their heads and dress in what the Western people think are unusual clothes and rise early in the morning and follow these regulative principles. They might do it out of a fashion. Maybe if people are doing it just for a fashion, they might do it for a few days. But if you're doing it for years and years and years, you must be getting something out of it. So sometimes people ask me, "Well, how long have you been in this Hare Krishna movement?" So I tell them, now for me it's 21 years. So they said, "Well, did you get anything out of it?" So I asked them, "Well, what do you think? Do you think if I wasn't getting something from this, I would stay?" If as mudhas like you think the goal of life is to sleep as much as possible, then why should I stay in this Hare Krishna movement? If the goal of life is to enjoy the senses, then what am I doing in this movement?
I mean, it's true, I do get fed, but, you know, I don't have to be in this movement. I could do some job also. I'm not incapable. All I ask, are you happy? The same thing. If you're not happy, then why should we do this? So you may not be able to understand it because you haven't done it, but definitely there is lagvanandi, there is experience of happiness in Krishna consciousness. And you may say whatever you like in terms of your psychoanalytic studies. Yeah. They do psychological studies of religious experience. Now that's really licking the honey bottle from the outside. Do you know that example, licking the honey bottle from the outside? You have to get the honey on the inside. It's no good licking the glass. So psychologists, they study religious experience and they give their theories. Well, because his father died young, so now he's thinking of God as some kind of imaginary father or something like this. They'll give so many theories, but they can never imagine that it's actually a fact. There is God, and a devotee feels transcendental ecstasy in serving him. They want to bring everything down to the material platform. They want to explain everything in terms of their limited experience, which is one reason why devotees, they very strongly make the distinction between devotees and non-devotees. It's not all the same, there is a lot of difference. Not that we hate non-devotees, of course we don't hate non-devotees. How can we hate them? They're all parts and parcels of Krishna. But at the moment, they're acting like hogs, dogs, camels and asses, according to the version of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Usva means? Usva means?
Donkey.
Donkey, is it? Okay. So we have to make the distinction. If we associate with materialistic people, then sangat sanjayate kama, according to our association, our desires develop. And the nature of maya is that it presents to us the material world as if it is real. Of course, it is real, but temporary. But maya places us in that illusion whereby we think that we can enjoy this material world, that we can control the circumstances so that we can enjoy them. And everyone in material consciousness is in the same illusion. So they reinforce each other's illusion. Everything a materialistic person says, does, thinks, writes, is simply to, it serves to reinforce that illusion. That's why it's very dangerous to associate with materialistic people, even in a subtle way. That's why Prabhupada, he warned even against reading newspapers that we discussed a little bit here the other day. Was it here or at the farm? Yeah, we discussed. That you may read if you have a need to for your service, just what you need to see, which most days for most devotees is nothing, because it's the same thing over and over again, politicians fighting, making promises, an earthquake here, a plane crash there. But there may be something you need to see. If you have to see it, see it, but don't spend all day buried in the newspaper. So this principle of yukta vairagya has to be very carefully applied. Yukta vairagya means using material things in Krishna's service. Just like this mridanga is made from leather. Leather, we don't use leather generally, but for the mridanga we do. And even if you're going out for book distribution in the cold winter in Poland, you can use leather shoes because that's the warmest thing. But if there's something which is equally warm, which is not leather, better use that. And we use computers which were developed for business and sense gratification. But we use them for Krishna's service, for writing books about Krishna, for keeping the accounts of our temples, for designing temples, so many different things. Now, there are so many things in the material world, and many things can be used in Krishna's service. But the devotee is very careful always to see from the perspective of Krishna consciousness. Anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya varjanam. To accept everything that is favorable for Krishna's service and reject everything unfavorable. Now, this principle has to be very carefully applied. Otherwise, it can be dangerous. Just like a razor can be used to shave your face, that's good. It can also be used to cut your throat. So when it comes to associating with materialistic people in an intimate way, we have to be extremely careful. For instance, even to read the newspaper is associating, is materialist, it's intimate material association. That's why Prabhupada warned Kev against it. Just like one time Prabhupada was shown Time magazine, and he had a quick look at it, and Prabhupada said, devotees shouldn't read this. He said, it's so expertly presented, it makes the material world look real. It's like that if you see the television also, say if you see the news on television, the way they talk, as if it's very important. Well, today Bill Clinton is going to meet Boris Yeltsin and there's going to be a meeting, and their tone of voice is such, like this is just extremely important. Just like 20 years ago in America, Nixon, Kennedy, more than 20 years, who is going to be the president? It's very important, all his interviews and this and that. Now Nixon is dead, Kennedy is dead. Probably most of the news reporters who reported that, they're also dead. And life is going on, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending.
And saying, and this is the latest report from Bill Clinton.
And then after 20, 30 years, he'll also be gone and there'll be someone else. And what's so important? Or even on the news, you'll see there's the football report. And saying, a very important game. What's important about it? How could it possibly be important? Axiomatically, it's non-important. But they give it such importance. Millions of people all over the world will be watching. So, especially in writing or in speaking, the whole consciousness, the whole worldview of the materialist is in those lines. Their whole outlook on life. And the devotee's outlook on life is completely different. That's why when we read something written by a materialist, if we're sensitive, we feel it's contaminating, actually. And if we read Srila Prabhupada's books, we feel purified. Isn't it? You have this experience? Get in a little maya and read some newspaper for 3 hours. And you feel like, ugh, feel like you're smeared, you're covered with stool or something. And just the opposite experience, when we, if our consciousness is a little disturbed or whatever, then we read Prabhupada's books, sit down, read, 2 hours, 3 hours. We feel completely purified. That everything is again in proper perspective. There's no real problem. Krishna is still the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Always will be. It's a fact. All I have to do is serve Him. And even whatever difficulties I may have in devotional life, anyway, these things come and go. I have to go on serving Krishna. So we should be very careful to keep our Krishna consciousness movement Krishna conscious. This is the solution to all the problems. These centers of our society for Krishna consciousness are meant for Krishna consciousness. Everywhere in the world there is bodily consciousness, Miss World, Miss Poland, who's the strongest man, bodily consciousness. Our mental platform, Krishna consciousness is on the pure spiritual platform. Now, Yukta Vairagya means that as long as we're in this world, we have to use the things of this world. But we have to be very careful that we don't become, again, trapped by those things. Just like Prabhupada said, you have to keep healthy to be Krishna conscious. So you may think, well, I have to keep healthy, so I'll do 3 hours exercises every day and sleep 10 hours a day. And the doctor told me that eating meat is very good for health, so I'd better do that too. Of course, this is a little ridiculous. I mean, devotees, they're not going to eat meat. But there is even a tendency to get too much into this kind of thing. Or even more subtly dangerous is on the mental or intellectual platform. We think, well, we have to manage our temple, so maybe we should read some books by some people who are experts at management. So we read some books by some management experts, international corporations for making money for sense gratification. So they'll give us so much advice which has got nothing to do with Krishna consciousness. But we may take it very seriously because we think, well, this person's very expert, which he may be. But he's expert for Maya. Expert for Krishna consciousness is something different. Of course, a devotee should be expert for Krishna's service. We want devotees to work effectively in Krishna's service to spread this movement all over the world. But the whole attitude is different. The materialist thinks that by my intelligence, I will deal with people in such a way to get them to work better, and this way we'll get more results. But a devotee has a completely different perspective. Instead of trying to control the situation, he applies his intelligence, but he does that with complete dependence on Krishna, knowing that ultimately everything's in Krishna's hands. And a really good manager in Krishna consciousness knows that whatever kind of management plans you can make, the best management plan is to have plenty of kirtan, plenty of preaching, nice deity worship, try to please Krishna in all respects. And if the preaching is strong, if the preaching mood is strong, then even if we're not super expert organizers of the material energy, everything will come out nice. And even if we study many different management books and this and that, without that spiritual force that comes from surrender to Krishna, then it will be completely useless. So Krishna consciousness means seeing the world in a different way. The materialist sees this world is meant for me to enjoy. The devotee sees this world is a place to serve Krishna. That is the difference. So we have to maintain this perspective. And it's not always easy because we're surrounded by the material energy and materialistic people. And materialistic people are always trying to pull us into their box. Why don't they try and pull us into being some kind of mundane religion? Your religion, my religion, that it's all just the same. And
Why don't you do some mundane welfare activities? That's what materialistic people think the height of religion is, to feed some poor people. Whereas in Krishna consciousness, at least according to Prabhupada's books, we don't even believe in that at all. We believe in feeding everybody, because everyone needs prasad. Everyone's suffering in maya. If poor people who have less food, if we feed, as Prabhupada wrote in that one book, that Renunciation Through Wisdom, if you give free meals, you'll just increase the number of poor people. You don't actually help anybody on the material platform by feeding them. Or they have the idea we should open hospitals. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, a neophyte devotee who rings the bell in the temple once during the arati, that's more valuable than opening millions of hospitals. Because it's on a completely different platform of goodness. It's on the platform of eternal benefit. Whereas the hospital, although it appears to be of benefit, actually it doesn't actually benefit anybody. Because people have to suffer the results of their activities. And there's nothing a hospital can do to stop that. So we shall keep our perspective clear that we're not ordinary people, nice or not nice. We are servants of Krishna. And we have to act in such a way that Krishna desires. All right, Hare Krishna, it's time for arati now. So shall we have questions after arati? If there are any questions, discussions, we'll continue with that. Okay. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Bhagavad Gita as it is ki jai. Oh, I'm going to make an announcement too. You want to announce? I have two books in English, those who can read English. If anyone would like to buy them, you can see Nithai Pada Kamala Das Brahmachari, who's going to sell them to you. All right, as you like, yeah.
There were some holy persons who were not following this rule. They were called holy persons. And for instance, the Pope is called Holy Father.
Mm. Yeah, we have to see what is actually holy. Would you think that one of the qualities of a holy person is that he wouldn't unnecessarily give suffering to others? What does she think? And would you think that eating meat unnecessarily gives suffering to others? Yeah, so what's the conclusion? No, just try to understand this point, first of all. That people may say this is holy or that's holy, but what is the qualification? Saintliness, is it just because you have some position in some organization? We see that even Lord Jesus, he was very unpopular, actually. They crucified him. He was crucified mostly because of the Pharisees. Because one of the things Jesus spoke very strongly against them and the misrepresentation of religion they were presenting. They were like the priests in society at that time. And people thought they were very holy. But Jesus pointed out that actually they were materialistic and they were just taking people's respect and using it for their own ends. And people were attracted to Jesus because of his saintly qualities and because he put the emphasis on God. So perfection means to understand God. So we have to associate with those people who are only interested in God. And we have to see practically by their qualities, are they godly or not? And I think most of the people who have taken to Krishna consciousness in the Western world have done so coming from background of Christian religion. Actually, Prabhupada, when he was traveling and preaching, many times Christian priests would ask him, why are so many people coming to you? Why are they not coming to our churches? Sometimes they'd have bingo in the churches because no one is coming. Of course, in Poland, the tradition is still quite strong. People go to church. But practically, how much are people becoming like Jesus? I looked at the whole Christian tradition. I was also brought up in the Catholic tradition. But I couldn't find God there. I found him here. I'm quite sure that if Jesus Christ came today, he'd be much more happy in the temple of Krishna than in the Catholic Church. That may be difficult for you to accept. Obviously, we're attached to those things we're brought up with. Of course, this whole thing of meat-eating, if we see the history of the church, the early Christians, they were not meat-eaters. Jesus himself was born in an Essene family. That means there was a religious group among the Jews. They were called Essenes. They were strictly vegetarian. And there is much evidence that the Bible has been deliberately
rewritten to introduce things about meat eating which are not actually there.
So I'm not sure actually if people are very saintly if they're if they're not showing the qualities of saintly people. There should be a thirst for God, for understanding God.
Bhakti parishama bhavo viraktir anyatra. This is a definition of one who's advanced in devotion to God. He becomes detached from all material desires. Now you see all our devotees here, they're not famous great saints. But none of them, even if you paid them, none of them would ever eat meat. They would hate the thought. And not only that, but they're up early in the morning chanting the names of God. I know when I first came to our temple of Krishna, that I arrived in the afternoon and I stayed overnight. So it was very cold and we didn't have any money, so there was no heating for the water. So here we are, very cold bath at 4 o'clock in the morning. And no heating in the building in winter. But everyone is dancing at 4 o'clock in the morning, chanting the names of God. So I knew these people had to be genuine. That's my personal experience. You also, you please judge and see with your own intelligence. If you can actually understand God, however you get there, it doesn't matter. Whatever tradition you may be in. And I've met God-conscious people in many different traditions. In Islam, people who are generally concerned to understand God. In Christianity. But as far as actual knowledge of who God is, how to approach Him, what pleases Him, I find that most in this Krishna conscious movement. Therefore, I'm in it. If there was something better, I'd go for it. So actually, this Krishna conscious movement, we don't reject Christianity. Whatever Lord Jesus Christ taught, we accept that. Jesus came, He said, I came to fulfill the commandments. The first commandment and the most important is to love God with all your heart and all your soul. So I practically see that endeavor here in this movement. And when I don't see it, I say also. When I don't see it, I say also. When I see sometimes our devotees, they want to mix some kind of materialistic idea, which is not 100% centered on pleasing Krishna, then immediately I point it out. Just like now, on the schedule, you'll see there's a Tai Chi class. So it's, you might think it's quite a nice idea. It could help the devotees to keep their bodies healthy to serve Krishna, which is possibly true. But it's not what Prabhupada taught that our temples should be used for. And so many people have come from different places. So many people have come from different places to hear about Krishna, to learn about Krishna. So I suggested better that we use this opportunity. We go to so much trouble to distribute books and bring people. Now people have come to learn about Krishna. Let us keep everything fully centered on Krishna. And when they go home, if they want to learn Tai Chi, they can find some Tai Chi instructor. We're not intrinsically against Tai Chi, although we're not great supporters of it either. I mean, you can become fully Krishna conscious without Tai Chi. Not one of the 9 processes of devotional service. So if you feel the need to do some exercise to keep healthy, you can do that, and you can listen to some cassette of Prabhupada giving a lecture at the same time. Hare Krishna. Some other question, Masha?
Talking about existential, he mentioned that one of the arguments is that bad things or sufferings happen to innocent people.
Yeah.
And this means that this world is an obstacle.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a problem in theology for those who don't have the knowledge of the Vedic literature. Why do bad things happen to good people? This world is absurd. You see, there's a nice young girl, pretty, intelligent. She's good-natured, friendly with everybody, never did harm to anybody, of course, except the animals she ate. And one day she was walking on the road and all of a sudden a car hit her and she was paralyzed for life. She had to be in a wheelchair all her life. So this shows the world is absurd. There's no sense. So this brings up the question, if God is all-powerful and all-good, then why does He allow bad things to happen to good people? It suggests that He's either not all-powerful because He can't stop bad things happening, or He's not all-good. He's misusing His power to give suffering to others. Can you sit like this? Can you sit like this? So this is a problem in theology. Some years ago, a Jewish rabbi in America wrote a book, Why Do Bad Things Happen to Good People? That rabbi's name was Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
In some many places in India, they pronounce Krishna, Krishna. In Orissa, Maharashtra, Andhra Pradesh, Gujarat, so many places. So anyway, he came to the conclusion that God is all good. He's a nice guy, but he's not all-powerful. You can pray to him for help, but, you know, he's like your grandfather, something like that. He means good for you, but, you know, he can't really do everything. This is called ignorant speculation. What is the meaning to God if he's not all-powerful? So the proper understanding is, why do bad things happen to good people? Because they're not good, that's why. For every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. The same thing, you can't deny the existence of God. Otherwise, why is the whole, how, why is the world existing at all? There must be some purpose. Now, if you can't see the purpose, you may conclude it's absurd. Just like you may see some machine, like a bulldozer. And you may think, if you don't know what the purpose is, you may think, why did someone go to the trouble of making a machine like this? But once you know the purpose, everything becomes clear. So the same thing, if you don't see the purpose of the universe, if you don't know what it is, it may seem absurd. Of course, those who are atheists like this, they'll go on arguing. But actually, it's very simple. These things are very simple to understand. Krishna consciousness philosophy is not actually very difficult to understand. It's very simple and straightforward. There is God. We are his eternal servants. We're in this material world because we're not surrendered to him. And there are so many details about the different energies of God, but the basic understanding is very simple. But we have class after class after class discussing this philosophy because we are so much attracted to wrong conceptions. Just to become convinced, again and again and again, we have to discuss. Just like we'll be discussing, we're not this body, we're not this mind. But then to carry that concept with us at every moment, false ego, we're not this false ego. We're eternal servants of Krishna. But always, because of our diseased mentality from time immemorial, we're trying to find some way to enjoy sense gratification. And even in the name of Krishna consciousness, sometimes we're trying to enjoy sense gratification. And we may confuse that, yes, I'm doing it for Krishna, but actually we're doing it for our sense gratification. Or it may be mixed motives. Just like you may think, well, I'd like to be the temple president because I could really help this, I could get this temple really moving and then I could really do a good service. But then you, in the back of your mind, you may not even recognize it. There may be other thoughts also. That I could also enjoy the facilities, I could get the Mahaprasad, people would respect me. And then so many other things may come in that, well, he also wants to be temple president. Okay, I have to talk badly about him and point out all his faults. So many bad things can come from desire for position. Or someone may think, well, I'm a great intellectual in Krishna consciousness. I really understand the philosophy. You're saying that, right? No, he wasn't saying, but he was saying that that's a possible contamination. It's a possible contamination. Whatever, if we do anything nicely in Krishna consciousness, then immediately we start to think, oh, I'm so great. I'm the best cook. I'm the best mridanga player. I can wear my dhoti better than anybody else. A great fashion model. This is all maya. So therefore, we have class after class after class, keeping on the point, Krishna consciousness. Please Krishna. Do what is pleasing to Krishna. With mind, body, and words, without any personal desire. That's why I was warning previously about being careful with this yukta vairagya. Just like you may want to do some kind of exercise, which is to help keep the body fit, because we have to keep the body fit to serve Krishna. But then there's a danger, you may become overly absorbed in that. And when you do this exercise, your body feels very good, and then you read in a yoga book that actually you should stand on your head, you should practice and gradually increase to 2 hours a day. And the best benefit, you have to do hatha yoga early in the morning. So gradually you start doing in your japa period and more time. And you start to think that this is actually more important than my Krishna conscious practices. This is the way maya works. Maya has so many different ways of working. Therefore, we have to be very careful to keep our Krishna consciousness movement Krishna conscious. There should be discussion of Krishna. What is the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita? Kirtan. Kirtan means glorifying Krishna. Everything centered very clearly on pleasing Krishna, as we have understood from the parampara system through Srila Prabhupada. You should be very careful not to introduce anything new or different or better, so-called better. Just this same program, chant Hare Krishna. You don't need any new mantra, Hare Krishna mantra. Then we have our program, rise early, follow this program, chant, study Prabhupada's books, distribute prasadam to all classes of people. Everything Prabhupada has given us. We may think, well,
that limits us. No, it's unlimited. Have we understood everything in Prabhupada's books? Have we read them again and again and again and again? Any other question? Krishna Book, Volume 2. How did you first meet Prabhupada? Jai! Srila Prabhupada ki jai! Srila Prabhupada's books ki jai! Srila Prabhupada's transcendental book distribution ki jai! Yeah. Any other question? About reading the newspapers, right?
You said in your lecture that we should minimize reading newspapers.
Minimize, and even mostly, most of our devotees, we don't have to read them actually. It's not required. You can translate that also. I see, sometimes I go weeks without reading a newspaper. Then, just like if I go to Russia for 2 months or something, then you know I don't even see anything written in English except the Prabhupada's books which I carry with me. So then if I come to London and I saw India, I say, oh, what's in the newspaper? I look and said, one politician calling another politician a bad name. That's the front page news. Plane crash. Cyclone. It's just the same thing. Chewing the chute. Nothing exciting. Nothing exciting there. We're thinking, what exciting thing in the material world have I missed? And that happened, I think, last year or 2 years ago. So 6 months after someone told, oh, you didn't know Nixon died. Yeah, I didn't know. I missed the news. Anyway, what's our question? Yeah, right, okay.
Spend the time in school. How to minimize the influence of this materialistic behavior.
Yeah. One thing more I'd like to say about the newspapers before I answer this is that most people, at least in Western Europe and the Western world, they read tabloid newspapers. You know what this is, tabloid? Most of the people, they read tabloid newspapers. Okay, you can say Gazette, tabloid, or whatever it is. Now, this is a kind of newspaper which doesn't have any news, hardly at all. It's mostly presented for the Shudra class of people who are not interested in anything serious or intellectual. So the main thing they'll have on the front page, the main news, they'll have something like the film star divorced another film star. This will be like the main news. And most of the newspaper will discuss sports, TV, cinema, and they'll especially have stories about rape cases. And not, it's just made for people of really dull brain. So most of the people don't read any news anyway. Even from the Kami point of view, it's just garbage. And it's made for stupid people, and you can see it reflects. Shortly before I joined this movement, I did some kind of shudra job in a factory to get some money. So I saw there were two men at work. They used to argue with each other every day about football. Who should be chosen for the England team? So I used to read their newspapers. They both had these different types of tabloid newspapers. So this is like the main discussion in these main thing. It may be like there's 50,000 people died in an earthquake, but who will be in the England team? That's like more important. So I would see, by looking at their newspapers, that one person would say, this man should be in the England team because of this, 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 exactly what was said in the newspaper that he reads. And the other man reading the other newspaper, whatever that newspaper said, he would read, he would take that up. So it's the same thing with the more intellectual newspapers. The people, they tend to think according to, very much they tend to think according to what they read. Now, how can a devotee living at home be freed from the effects of the materialistic society? The best way is to let everybody know that you're a devotee of Krishna. Don't try to hide it. You can wear your neck beads, your tilak, bring your japa mala to work. And if people ask you why, you say, because I'm a devotee of Krishna. This is our religious practice. Last year I read there was a magazine given from our ISKCON center in Manchester in England about one young lady, devotee. She was going to college. So she decided, I'll wear my tilak to college also. And people asked her why, and she said, that because I'm a devotee of Krishna, and this is what we do. So she said, it made life so much easier for me. In the beginning, one or two people were laughing, but after a few days, they got used to it. And many people asked me questions with interest and respect. And I didn't have to make excuses that why I don't go to their parties or anything like that. And, I didn't have to get involved in their stupid discussions about film stars. I just say, I'm not interested, I'm a devotee of Krishna. It just solves all my problems. One man, he got one of these books somehow in America, and he's living in a place in America, there's no temple for like
more than 100 miles. But somehow or other he got one of these books and he wrote me a letter. He lives in a very conservative part of America. They're all WASPs. You know what that is? White Anglo-Saxon Protestant. That means first-class American. Real American. So he asked me what to do, and I recommended you do these things. You chant, you wear tilak, and all these things. I told him no. So he said that I thought wearing tilak in my WASP community wouldn't be accepted. But he said, actually, there's no problem at all. Another time, I visited a town in South India in one place.